to share with you a very severe, terrible financial situation.
今天让我跟大家来分享这个比喻，是大家很熟悉的。
It's the parable of the good and the evil servant.
这是关于一个良善和一个又恶的古人的一个比喻。
Before I start my preaching, I'd like to read to you another translation of this passage.
在我给大家讲圣经之前，我想把另外的一个译本读给大家听。
It's from Eugene Peterson's The Message.
这是由尤金彼得生他给我们的经文。
He used contemporary language to express the ancient text, so it's very close to where we are.
他是用现代的语言把这个来翻译，所以我们大家应该是很懂得、很熟悉。
So he called this passage or this parable the story about investment.
他叫这个比喻叫做投资的一个比喻。
So just listen. He said, "It's also like the kingdom. It's also like a man going off an extended trip."He called his servants together and delegated responsibility. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to the third one $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence,The master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him, "Good work. How did you did your job well. From now on, you will be my partner." The servant with the $2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. His master commended him, "Good work. You did your job well.From now on, be my partner." The servant given $1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, but you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound down to the last cent." The master was furious.That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the thousand and give it to the one who reached the most, and get rid of this player's sake who won't go out on the limb.Throwing out into utter darkness. Now, of course, after I read this translation, you might begin to wonder whether the story Jesus actually teach people how to invest the money.
当我读了这一段经这一段的信息以后，你会很疑惑，究竟耶稣基督在这里教导我们是什么呢？
And a lot of people might be very happy and say, "Oh yes, that's why we should put our money into stock market or buy houses."
所以有很多人他就会说，哎，那就好了，很高兴，我可以把我的钱拿去投资买房子，去买那个股票。
Because even Jesus told people to invest, right?
因为连主耶稣基督就叫人去投资。
But yes, Jesus did teach his disciples to invest.
对的，主耶稣的确教导他的仆人去投资。
But for parables, he's using a real-life situation to illustrate the truth of the kingdom.
但是在这个比喻里面，他却是用实在的生活来教导我们如何去投资。
There are similarities between the real life and Jesus' teaching.
就是有关联主耶稣基督的教导和我们实际的生活上的一个联系。
But there are also differences between his story and the real life story.
但其中也有分别，就是在这个比喻、这个故事里面和我们真实的生活。
One major thing that is different in this parable is the result of the investment.
在这个比喻里面最大的分别就是这个投资之后的结果。
In this story, you don't see there is any chance to lose the money.
在这个比喻里面，你看不到有什么机会是令你亏本的。在这个比喻当中。
But in real life, for every investment, there is always a risk of losing the money.
但是在实在的生活上，常常在投资上我们会有损失的。
So in a sense, it is a real life story, but in another sense, Jesus has modified a little bit to teach the truth of the kingdom.
在这个故事里面，主耶稣其实是把它提升了，做一个我们怎么样在这个神的国里面的生活。
So let us take a look at this parable and see what Jesus teaches us about investing our life in.
让我们再从这个比喻里面看一下，主耶稣基督是怎么样来教导我们，把我们的生命来投资。
A lot of times when we read the Bible,
很多时候当我们读圣经的时候
，we like to read it for ourselves.
我们是用自己的意见去读。我们是为着自己来读，我们读圣经为着自己的好处来读。
We read.The Bible in the sense that we wanted to know how we can be more spiritual.
我们读圣经呢，我们很想去看我们自己怎么样令到自己更加属灵。
Or we like to read it in the sense that, I can understand more what God wants from me so that I can get more reward.
或者我们看圣经，我们就是用着一个心态，就是我们怎么样可以读得更好，可以更加明白，得到更多的好处。
So even in this story, a lot of people read it in the way that yes, I want to be the servant who is with the 5,000 and the 2,000.
很多人读到这个比喻都想，哎，好啊，我就是想我自己是这个比喻里面得到5,000或者是2,000的那个人。
Because I want God to give me 5,000 more or 2,000 more at the end.
因为我想到最终呢，主可以多给我5,000，或者是多给我2,000。
But that's not the point of this story.
但是这个比喻呢，却不是它的重点，却不是这样。
And that's not the point of reading God's word.
这也不是我们怎么样去读神的话语。
When we read the word of God, we should not be thinking of what benefits it brings to me.
我们去读神的话语的时候，并不是带着一个心态，就是神可以带给我什么好处。
When we read the Bible, we should be thinking about two things.
当我们读圣经的时候，我们要想着两个原则。
The first thing that we need to think about is when I read this passage, how much do I know God better?
我们读圣经的第一个原则就是这段经文如何增加我对神的认识。
The God whom I call my Lord and my Savior.
我叫神做我的主，叫我的救主。
My Master and my Lord.
是我的主人和我的神。
My Rock and my Refuge.
也都是我的高台，是我的避难所。
What does that mean?
这是什么意思？
How much do I get to know God better because of reading His Word?
我怎么样能够更加了解神？当我读到他的话语的时候，这个是我们必须要记住的。当我们读圣经的时候
，The second thing that we need to keep in mind，
第二个原则我们必须要记住的
，is by reading God's word， how do I understand His will better？
就是当我们读到神的话语的时候，我们怎么样可以更加来了解神的心意？
It's like what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane.
就好像主耶稣基督在客西马尼园里面的祷告。
Not my will, but yours.
不是你，不是跟我的意思，是跟你的旨意。
So after I read the Word of God, how better do I know about His will in my life?
所以当我们读到神的话语的时候，我们要问自己。究竟我们能够怎么，我们怎么样更加的了解神的心意
？So that I can be an obedient child.
所以我就能够成为顺服神、听他话的儿女。
So that in my everyday life, I can live in the way that pleases Him.
那么在我们每天的生活上，我就可以去保他的喜悦。
So there's a transformational element in reading the Bible.
这就是一个很重要把我们更新的一个元素。
Very, very important, especially in our Chinese Christian tradition.
这是一个很重要的原则，特别在我们的华人的教会当中。
Because in our Chinese church spiritual tradition, we like to learn a lot of knowledge.
因为在我们的传统里面，我们读圣经，我们是要得到更多的知识。
We like to go to Bible study, revival meetings, and listen to all the great preachers.
我们喜欢去那个学习圣经，也都去大的布道会，想听那些大的牧者、大的布道员他们所讲的信息。
And we like to drop down a lot of notes.然后
我们要把所听到的、学到的用那个笔记记下来。
I'm not against taking notes, by the way.
那我不是反对写那个笔记。
But what do we do with those notes that we took from the sermon?
但是我们拿到这些的笔记，我们从这个信息里面、这个全道里面，我们得到这个知识到底怎么样？
Just like my students, they like to ask me for a lot of notes.
就好像我的学生，他们要很多补充要。
They feel satisfied if I give them 50 pages of notes to take home.
那么他们很满意，如果我给他们50张那个参考的资料。
But if I don't give them anything, they feel more.
但是如果我不给他们资料，他们就好像是有所损失。
But as a student before, I knew what I did with those notes.
但是当我是学生的时候，我不明白我要这些资料是怎么用的。
They are piling up as stacks in my bookshelf.
它一般来说都是只是放在我的书架上面。
It doesn't have anything to do with my life.
它对我的生命没有影响。
At the most, maybe it stays in my head.
最顶多的就是留在我的头脑上。
And that's the biggest pitfall of reading the Bible.
其实这就是最大的一个损失。当我读到这个圣经，有这一种心态的话
，If we only read the Bible in the sense that we want more knowledge, spiritual knowledge，
如果我们读圣经的时候，一向从圣经的话语里面得到更多属灵的知识的话
，We are missing most of the point。
那么我们就遗漏了最大的重点。
Knowledge is important.
知识是非常重要。
Because without correct knowledge, then we don't have right application.
因为如果我们没有真正的知识，我们就没有应用。
But we cannot stay at the knowledge level.
但是我们不能停留在知识的层面。
That's why a lot of Bible scholars say that reading the Bible is actually an event.
所以很多圣经的学者就说，我们读圣经其实是一件事情。
It's an active encounter with Almighty God.
其实是我们呢跟我们永生的神来相遇。
Every time when you sit in your chair to listen to a sermon,
每一次当你坐在听一篇道的时候
，Whether it's at home from your CD player or whether you're worshiping God.
无论你是在家里面听一个电影，听一篇讲道，或者是你真的来崇拜的时候听到。
When the word of God comes, it is an encounter between God and you.
每一次神的话语打开的时候，其实是你与神正面的来相交。
So it's not a passive reading or passive listening.
所以这不是只是一个文本的一个读一个文本。不是被动，去听，
听懂被动。
我们呢，其实听到不是被动的。
So when you sit here listening to God's word, you should be actively engaged.
每一次你读到神的话语的时候，其实是主动的来参与这个事情。
Because God is inviting you to change your life.
因为就在这个时刻，神是邀请你进到他的里面。
We don't just our life is not just changed when we accept Christ into our life.
我们的生命不是不只是在我们接触主耶稣的时候我们有所更改。
Our life is being changed every time when we respond to God's word.
每一次我们生命改变是每一次当我们听到神的话语的时候我们就有生命的改变。
And it should be like that every time when we read the word of God.
那么当我们每一次听读到神的话语的时候都应该有这种更改。
So the next time I hope from now on when you, whatever opportunity you have to read God's word, whether in your devotional life or at church.
那么我盼望大家从今以后，每逢一次在你自己的灵修或者是在那个学习圣经的时候，你都用这一种心态去读圣经。
I hope you always remember that God is inviting you to be transformed.
我盼望你能够明白神每一次都是邀请你的生命给他更新。
So much about the introduction.
人就是我的一个导文。
So ask the question. After I read the parable of Jesus, what does this say to me about God?
所以请你问自己，当我读到这个比喻的时候，神其实要我怎么样去认识他。
What do I know better about this one who I believe as my God and my Savior?
我怎么样能够更多的增加我对真理？我叫他做神，叫我做基督，叫他做圣母的更多的认识。
And after reading this parable, what do I know that God wants of my life?
那么当我读了这个比喻以后，我要明白神到底要我做什么。
And how should I be different now?
那么从现在我怎么样可以有所改变？
How would I live as a Christian that, that follow God's will?
我怎么样可以令自己成为一个遵守神、明白神心意的人？
So let's first look at how do we know God better through this parable.
那么现在就让我们来从这个比喻里面，我们怎么样可以更了解神？
Of course, this parable.The master represents God.
但是在这个比喻里面，主人就是代表神。
And in this story, there are a few interesting points about this master.
在这个故事里面，有几样是很有趣的，关于他的主，关于这个主人。
And these few points illustrate who God is.
这重要的部分就列出了主。究竟是怎么样的？
It tells us about the attributes of God, or the character of God.
这就说到神的本性，神的性格是怎么样的？
First of all, from this story, we know that this master is a master who knows his servant.
从这个比喻里面，我们看到这位主人是十分了解他的仆人的一个主人。
So in contemporary language, it's a boss who really understands his employee.
从我们今天的话语去说，就是一个老板很清楚了解他的雇员。
And in the story, you see a relationship more than just an employer and employee.
在这个故事里面，我们看到主人和这个雇人的关，这个雇工的关系是一种关系。
You see that the relationship between the master and the servant.Has a very intimate relationship.
你可以看到主人与仆人之间有一种很亲密的关系在当中。
There is a very strong trust between the master and the servant.
在这个仆人与主人之间有一个十分信任的一个元素在里面。
Why do we say that?
为什么我们这样说？
Otherwise, the master would not have given so much money to the servant.
要不然的话，为什么这个主人可以把那么多的钱给他的仆人？
I don't know how many of you have employers.
我不晓得大家多少有你的雇主你的雇主。
And I don't know how many of you employers include maybe you are the boss in a factory or maybe you have a housemate.
那么在你们当中有谁是老板的？
比 you know,
如你有一个工厂，或者是你有那个在家里面你有家属的。
You know, in Hong Kong, a lot of families have families, they hire Filipino or Indonesian maids.
啊，你知道在香港啊，在家里面很多时候就不请了那些菲律宾的，或者是泰国的佣人。
The only thing that I ever heard from the employers were that they really worried that these maids would steal at their home.
很多时候我很少听到，
很少还是很多，
我很多时候都听到啊，这些工人呐、啊，常常偷主人的东西。
Whether it's diamond ring or money or you know what, sometimes it's even toys, you know. They just worry that the servants would steal.
那些主人呢，他会很担心，无论是钻石、戒指啊，或者是其他东西，甚至连这个网具，他们都会偷的。
I never heard any employer.Would give a lot of money or you know give the bank account for the servant to manage.
我很少听到，甚至我根本没有听到主人会给很多很多钱，甚至他自己的户口都给了那些工人们。
If you were the employer, would you give your bank card to your servant?
那么如果你是雇主，你会不会把你银行的拿钱的？
Your PIN number and say whatever you need, take it.
你的会不会对你的仆人说，工人说，你我把我的密码都给你，你随时你什么时候拿钱就随便。
We will even do it to our sons and daughters, right?
就算是我们的儿女，我们都不会这样做。
It requires an extremely high level of trust.
因为这里面有着一个非常要相信、要信任的一个元素在里面。
Of course, from the master, but also the servants have to demonstrate in the history of their life or their performance that they are trustworthy.
当然，在这当中，这些工人他们要令他的主人，他自己有很好的例子，有很好值得他相信的过程的事物在里面。
So just by seeing the master and trusting his.To the servants, we know that there is a long trusting relationship between the master and the servant.
如果我们看到那个主人能够把那么多的产业给那个仆人，我们就知道他是经过一段很长时间的信任在里面。
And also, he gave the servants money according to their ability.
而且呢，这些主人是。按着才干来给他的仆人一些资产。
He doesn't give everybody the same amount.
他不会给每一个工人都是一样的礼数。
Because he doesn't want to create too much stress on those who cannot handle that much.
因为他不想他的工人得到太大的那个压力，如果他能力根本拿不到的话。
The master might know better about the servants than the servant knows about himself.
那个主人呢、啊，对他工人的仆人的认识，比起那些仆人对自己的认识更深。
Sometimes you know how we overwork or overload ourselves.
我们很多时候能不能知道自己是过度的努力，过度的劳力
？Because we don't know our limits.
因为我们不晓得自己的先进。
We think that we can do more than we can.
我们很多时候都以为自己能够做的更多，比起自己的能力更好更多。
But this master is a caring master.
但是这个主人却是一个很关顾、很关怀的主人。
He only gives according to the abilities of the servant.
他是按着才干来给他的工人他们的资产。
Even to the 1,000.
就算给1,000银子的那个人。
This goes to the next point. That he's a very generous person.
我们来到第二个，就是他是一个很慷慨的主人。
Our God is a very generous God.
我们的神是一个很慷慨的神。慷慨的神。
How do we know?
我们怎么样知道
？If he knows the servants so much.
如果他很知道他的仆人。
If I were him,
如果我是他
I won't give it to the 1,000.
我不会给那个人1,000块。
Because he knows that he's not going to make it, right?
因为我都明明知道他是不会利用他的。
If you were lazy, If he were lazy now, he had been lazy before. It's his pattern of life.
如果他现在是懒惰的话，他以前都是懒惰的，因为这是他生活的态度。
But he wants to give him one more chance.
但是他仍然想给他多一个机会。
Even though he knows that he's lazy.
就算他知道他是懒惰。
But he still wants to give him a little bit more chance.
但是呢，这个主人也仍然想给多一点的信任给他。
Not too much stress on him.But just enough for him to prove to him that maybe this time you are changed.
在不给他太大的压力之下，多给他一次机会，机会看他能不能把这个信任做出来。
And for the other two,
但是另外有两个啊。
You know how much he gave them?
你知道他给他们多少吗
？1,000 or 1,000 in those days.
在那个时候啊，一千的银子，在那个时代
，is equivalent to the amount that a person can live on for 15 years，
就相当于当时的人可以过15年生活的生活费。
So for $2,000 or $2,000，
那么如果我们说两千或者是2%年得的银子
，how much can a person live on？
那个人可以生活多长
？Simple math。
三十
30 years and for 5,000
三十年那么五千的吗
how many 75 years
所以75年的时间
all your retirement fund
所有你的退休金都在这里了
do you see how generous this master is
那么你能看到这个主人的慷慨吗
and he trusts them enough that he gave them so much
因为他太信任他们了，所以他才给他们那么多。
And not only in terms of money, but also in terms of time.
这个不只是关于钱财的问题，也都是时间的问题。
In the parable,
在这个比喻里面
，How long did he live?
他走了多长？他走了多久
？Tell me if you read it. How long did he live?
这个主人离开多长？
A long time.
对，很长的时间。
So he didn't only give them a lot of money, but also a lot of time.
所以这个人不单是给了他们很多的钱，也给了他们很多时间。
So it's for long time investment.
所以这是一个长期的投资。
And you know from nowadays.
那你知道从今天上来看
？What do bankers tell you?
我的银行街。家是怎么样告诉你
？When you go to the bank，
当你去银行
，What do the investment managers always tell you？
那些投资经理怎么样告诉你
？It's okay if the stock market tumbles。
是可以的，那些股票的市场是很有，就是会那些。股票会包括的，那个是会掉下来的。
But if you put your money for 20 years, 30 years, you would definitely gain it back.
但是如果你放长一点，20-30年的话，你就可以把你的投资拿回来。
That's what they told you, right?
这就是银行家对投资的看法。
What they are saying is, if you have enough time, you can recover from your loss.
他们的意思就是，如果投资越长了，你就可以把你亏本的都拿回来。
You still have opportunity to recover from your loss.
你仍然时间长，你仍然可以从你亏的地方赚回来。
So the master is giving the servant a security to know that they have enough time to work with whatever they have.
这个主人就给了他的仆人一个信心，一个保险。叫他们给他们时间，有足够的时间给他们去投资。
And he's not worried that the servant will take over his property.
他不会担心那些仆人会把他的资产拿走。
You know, if you live for a long time, there's always, you know, it's not just money. You know, in the whole day, the masters have property. If they left home, they left their property, their assets, their big home.With the servants too.
你知道吗？在当时的时候，那个主人他走了，他不光是把钱给了那些人，就是给的钱就走了，他连自己所有的家园、所有的家庭，一切都留下来。
It is just like in the old days, in the Chinese society, right? You have the chief steward, who is like a boss. When the master is away, he's in charge of everything.
就好像我们中国，我们古代啊，大宅的人家，他们都有管家的，来管理自己的家园。
So the master is not worried about that when he comes back, what would happen?
那个主人完全不会担心，当他回来的时候，有什么事会发生
？Maybe the stewards, the servants would have stolen his property.
有可能那些主人或者是大管家哈，把他所有的产业卖掉。
Or they claimed it on their own.
或者是据为己有。
A while ago, there's often news and I actually have friends.Who have these ancestral homes in China?
我就有这个经验，我有些朋友他在中国有一些祖屋。
They said that when they went back to claim the house.
他们说，当他们回国要拿回这些祖屋的时候
，You know what happened?
你知道什么事发生吗
？It doesn't matter if they have the legal paper.
就算他们是没有法律的文件。就算他们有这些拥有这些法律的文件
，But whoever lives there claims the house.
但是谁住在那边，他就说那个房子是他的。
Those were legal owners.
这些就是合法的主人。
If they don't move, they can't do nothing about it.
如果他们不搬走，根本没他办法。
So the master could have a lot of worry about giving so much to his servant.
所以呢，这个主人他会应该是有很多担心的，如果他把那么多的钱给
他。But he's so generous to the point that he completely trusts his servant.
但是他是慷慨到一个地步，他把所有的都给了他们那么多，他是完全的信任他的主人。
And then lastly, he's a very fair master.
最后呢，他是一个非常公平、赏罚、赏罚分明的主人。
Some people feel that he's not fair because he's giving different amounts to different people.
很多人相信他是不是公平的，因为他给每一个人都是不同的奖赏。
It sounds like he's playing favorites.
就好像他是有这一个偏心在里面。
Because he's giving his favorite one more and the less favorite one less.
因为他喜欢的他多给，不喜欢的就少给。
But if you think about it, every single dollar that the servant got is what?
但是如果你想到每一个仆人他所拿到的每一个钱
，It's not what they deserve.
是他们不值得的。
Every single dollar that they got is pure grace.
每一分一毫都是。完全是恩典。
And then for the 5,000 and the 2,000, when they double the investment.
那个5,000和2,000银子把他的那个投资加倍的赚回来的时候
，He gave them the same kind of comment.
这个主人给他们同一的评分评价。
And the same reward they received.
也都给他们同一的酬劳。
Not in terms of the money.
不是因为一些钱财。
But what did he say?
他怎么说
？Come and share the joy of your master, right?
来跟我一起享受我的快乐。
And in Peterson's translation, he said, "Come and be my partner."
在彼得圣的信息里面，他说：“你来，我跟你一起做拍档，伙伴，做伙伴。”
Become a partner of my kingdom.
在我的天国，在我的那个王国里面做我的伙伴。
That's such a privilege.
你知道这是很荣耀的。
So he's very fair in the sense of how he treats the children.
所以这是很公平的，在他怎么样对待他的仆人上面赏罚分明是很公平。
And then for the lazy one.
但对那个懒的仆人呢？
He also he gave him the opportunity. He didn't use it, so he said, "I'm going to judge you."
他对那个懒惰的主人说，他给了他机会，但是呢， 他没有好好利用，所以这个主人对他说。
So in this parable, a lot of people misunderstood that this last servant, the servant who got 1,000, lost his salvation.
很多人因为说那个只有一千银子的，就误会了那个有一千银子的人呢，他不能够得到这个救恩。
But this is not talking about salvation.
但我们这个故事不是说到救恩的问题。
It's talking about partnership in God's kingdom.
而是说一个伙伴的关系在神的国度里。
What it meant here is that this very last servant, he's not able to share the joy of serving with his master.
在这个故事里面，最后的一个一千银子，我们看到他是不愿意去分享主人的快乐。
不是不愿意，他是不能。
他是不能分享与主人的快乐，在天国里面的快乐。
He cannot share the joy of bearing fruits for God's kingdom.
他不能在神的国度里面得着果子。
That's why he had to cry.
所以这就是他哭的原因。
He didn't lose his status as the servant.
他没有损失他自己是主人的身份。
But he lost the privilege as that servant.
他是失去了作为一个仆人能够得到的一个好处，或者是对谁一个权利。
So let's take a quick look at those two kinds of servants.
那么我们现在来看这两种不同的仆人。
If the God we believe and we give our life to is such a generous God.
如果我们所相信，我们把自己委身给的这一位神，他是一位那么慷慨的神。
If the God we believe is such a fair God，
如果他是一位那么公平、那么赏罚分明的神。
And we trust that He trusts us so much to the point that He gave everything to us。
如果我们相信这一位神，是相信我们到了一个地步，把什么都赐给我们的神。
Then how should our lives respond to such a God？
那么我们应该是怎么样去回应这一位神
？So let us take a look at the good and faithful servant.
那么让我们看这个又忠心又良善的仆人。
First, these people, what kind of characters do they show in their life?
我们首先看呢，这些仆人他在自己的生命中，他的性格、他的品格，我们看到什么
？The first character we see that
我们第一个看到他的。
The good and faithful servant respond immediately to the master's call.
这个又良善又忠心的仆人，他对主人的这个吩咐，他是立刻反应的。
Even though they know that the master will be gone for a long time,
就算他们知道他们的主人会去很长的时间，但是他们都是及时回应。
But they act immediately upon their task.
但是他对于吩咐他的事情，他是及时的回应，立刻回应。
One author says that delayed obedience is false obedience.
有一个作者说，如果你拖延呢，你就是一个拖延的信徒，是一个假的信徒。
If we say that yes, God, we want to follow you and we want to serve you.
如果我们对神说，神啊，我愿意跟随你，我愿意顺服你。
But we act as if, oh, God is not coming back and you want to be in favor.
但是如果我们想，如果神啊，一千年还不会回来的话。
So I have plenty of time to just fool around and then at the end I can catch up.
我还有很多时间去游游荡荡啊，我还有时间去补回来。
That's not real obedience.
这个不是真的顺服。
A real obedience is a day-to-day following God.
一个真正的顺服是我们每一天每一天来跟随神。
Not just the church.
不是光是在教会里面。
But in everything we do in every day of our life.
是在我们每一天每一个生活里面我们要去回应的。
We are making a choice every moment.
我们在每一时刻里面，我们都是做一个选择。
We are making a choice every moment in the sense how we bear how our life actually bears the fruit of the spirit.
我们在每一分一秒的生活上，我们都是要去想，我们怎么样可以结出圣灵的果子。
In big things and in small things.
今天无论是在大的事或者是小的事。
This past Friday, I led a youth fellowship on the topic of dealing with anger.
在过去的礼拜，我是带领一班年轻人，教他们怎么样去回应自己的情绪。
愤怒的情绪。And that topic actually falls within a bigger umbrella of what they call a good and beautiful life.
这个题目呢，就是我们说，在一个大的扇子底下，我们怎么样去活我们的生活，有一个美丽的生命。
So what I asked the young people to do is to think of some scenarios in their life.That triggered anger.
我就叫那些年轻人，他们要想思想自己的生命里面有什么是可以引起自己愤怒的。
Or they will lose their temper easily.
或者他们会很容易就发怒了。
So guess what is the primary most story that they give me?
你猜想一下，有什么这些年轻人给我这个最主要的原因是什么？
Driving
就是驾车，驾
When somebody cuts in their way
当你加急的时候有人三线
Or in the parking lot You were waiting and signaling for a space
或你在停车场你明明等着一个位置你要进去的
And all of a sudden somebody You know Get in the way
突然之间有人把你的那个空位给占了
As if it were that space
就好像这个车位原本就是他的嘛。
So these young people were, you know, talking about these, sharing about these life stories.
所有年轻人呢，他就把自己生活的故事来分享。
So I asked them, I told them, you know, I asked them how they responded in those situations.
我就教导他们如何去回应这些突发的事情。
And I was very happy that most of them were actually very gentle people.
我就很感恩，因为他们当中很多都是很温柔、很有这个风度的一些年轻人。
But I told them that, you know, in every single one of these situations, we are actually making choices in how we act.
但是我就告诉他们，在其实，在每一种这样的情况里面，他们有选择的余地。
They can give a dirty look to the people who wrong them.
他们可以对于人家对他不好、对他恶意的东西，他们可以以恶不报恶。
Or they can scold at the person or whatever.
或者呢，他们可以就是有随便他们做。
But when they think of themselves as a Christian and how they should respond in Christ's likeness.
但是如果他们讲到他们要怎么样去活出基督的样子，怎么样像基督的时候
，That changed their behavior，
真的完全改变他们的行为。
They remember that they are God's children。
他们会记得他们是神的儿女。
And they try to learn to be gentle and kind。
他们就要尽量的学习，做出自己的风度，做出自己的仁慈慈悲。
Self-control.
就要自己去控制自己
joyful
就要快乐
So that's what they are learning
这个就是他们要去学
And that's what it means to see the kingdom of God on earth
这个就是我们在地上怎么样可以看到天国
This is a parable of the kingdom of God
这是一个关于神的国度的一个比喻
When we see these people who can live life like Jesus did when he was on earth,
我们在这个比喻里面看到神耶稣基督是怎么样把天国带到这个地上。
When people see the character of Jesus in your life,
当人看到在你的性格里面有主耶稣基督的性格的话
，This is where the kingdom of God is here and now.
这个就是天国就在这里。
You don't have to wait until you die and go to heaven.
你不需要等到一天你死了，你回到天国才有天国。
Jesus promised the kingdom of God to be here, so that people will see the power of God.
耶稣基督就应许，你可以在这里就看到天国，而且每一个人都可以进天国。
The power of God is not just displayed in the so-called miracles.
神呢，他的那个天国的能力力量，不是说有什么魔力，有什么魔术。
A lot of times we will say, God, show us your power by healing me.
很多时候我们会说，神啊，用你的力量建给我看。
Oh God, show us your power by intervening with this situation.
神啊，让你的神迹让我看到这一个阻挡这一个情况。
But the power of God is displayed in every Christian's life.
但是神的力量是在每一个基督徒的身上发挥出。
By the kind of transformational life that we live through Jesus Christ.
只要我们在主的生命里面，我们得到更新。
That's the most powerful testimony you can give to your friends.
这就是最有力的见证，我们可以给我们身边的人。
Not just how God healed you from a big illness.
不是说在你一个很大的病痛里面主把你治好，这才是神
How God actually transform your personhood into Christ-likeness?
其实最大的力量就是神怎么样在你生命当中更新你的性格。
The second point,
第二个
that the servants really, they don't just respond immediately, but they also understand about themselves.
第二点呢、啊，就是这些仆人，他不单只是立刻的回应，而且他是量力而为，谨慎所教。
And they understand about their master as well.
他也很清楚，很了解自己的主人。
If you were a servant,
如果你是那些仆人
，and your master gave you so much money,
你的主人给你很多银子，很多钱财。
And in a world like that, a performance-driven culture.
就好像我们现在啊，所有都是讲那个表现的一个时代。
What would you do to impress your master?
你怎么样去讨好你的那个主人
？What would you do?
你会怎么做
？What would you do to impress your master?
你会怎么做？去扔到去娶你的。导你主人的喜悦。
You know, when we look at the story, we see that the result is doubling of the investment.
你知道，在这个故事后面，我们知道他的投资是将被他主人给他的钱财。
And we think that it's a lot.
我们讲这个是很多。
But if you really think about it, it's not really a lot because it's over a very long period of time.
但是如果你想呢，其实不是很多，因为是经过很长的时间呢。
In today's term,
在今天来说
just talking about Vancouver,
就说我们温哥华
for somebody to double the investment, it doesn't have to take a long time, or a long time.
如果一个人他要向被自己的投资不需要很长的时间
So if someone wants to impress, say, if a bank employer, an employee,
比如说一个银行的
If he or she a financial what do you call them financial officers the people who teach people how to invest a financial supervisor okay if they want to impress the boss
如果那些银行的那个投资的顾问他想取悦他的主人
or if they want to what do you call the market fund managers They won't invest in something that is only going to double over 50 years, right?
This is 基金经理，他取悦他的 boss， 他不会需要五十年的时间这么长来
赚钱。If that's the kind of investment that they make，
如果需要五十年呢，他就说这个不是他能看到。
But these servants.They are not trying to cover up themselves.
但是呢，这些仆人呢，他不想把自己很大的好大提供。
They are very careful in what the master entrusted them to do.
他们是非常小心主人交托给他的钱财。
So yes, they work hard, they invest.
真的，他们是很勤劳，他们也去投资。
But at the same time, they are very careful.
但是同时，他们也很小心。
In managing the master's money.
他们很谨慎的来
投资。Because they know that that's not their money.
主人的钱，因为他们知道他这公司自己的钱。
Ultimately, they have to answer to the master.
最后，他要向主人来交账。
So the master's comment was that they were faithful in big and small things.
所以那个主人对他们的评语就是你们是又忠心又良善的仆人。
And then the very last point.
然后最后一点。
The good and faithful servants, they don't think for themselves.
那些又良善又忠心的仆人，他不是想到自己的利益。
They don't think that after they have made so much money, they would bargain with the master and say, "Why don't you give me a share?"
他们呢，对那些主人把他那个双倍的投资以后，他不会跟他的主人来讨价还价，就是说你为什么不把一些赚到的分给我一点
？I mean, they have every right to ask for it.
其实他们是有这个权利去跟主人来讨价还价。
But when the master came back, what was their what did they do?
但是当主人回来的时候，他们是怎么样的回应
Bible or the parable tell us.
圣经里面的这个比喻怎么样？告诉我们。
How much did they give it back to the master?
他们还给主人多少
？How much? Huh? 100%.
全数。
They gave everything back to the master.
他们把所有的还给主人。
I mean, at least they can claim some kind of management fee, right?
他们其实可以向主人讨回一些就是管理费。
If they manage the fund so well, they could at least, you know, gain some money.
如果他们把这些钱财投资的那么好，起码他们可以要回一点点。
The clever ones can even ask for share.
因为如果是聪明的话，可以跟他主人要回一些就是股份。
But the motivation of serving the master.
但是呢，这个原动力叫这些仆人去尽忠于主人的，不是钱财。
The motivation of serving the master is not reward.
那个动力也不是酬劳。
It's only because they know that the master loves them and they love the master.
唯一其中的原因就是他们知道主人爱他们，他们也要爱主人。
And this is a very important corrective.To our service today.
这个是对我们很重要的元素。如果我们今天做仆人的来说
，Because a lot of time we have a false concept that the more we serve God, the more diamonds we get on the crown when we see Him.
很多时候我们有一个错误的观点，就以为我们去侍奉神多一点，在我们的那个上面，将来的画面上面就有更多的钻石。
We often say that.
我们常常这样说。
And we hope for that.
我们也盼望这样。
This is what we call eternal investment.
这个就是我们说长期的永生的投资。永恒的投资。
If we give up our properties on earth, we are going to get them back in heaven.
如果我们在地上投资更多，我们可以在天上得到更多的酬劳。
And that's a false theology.
这是一个错误的神学。
If we only serve God because we hope for eternal reward,
如果我们去服侍神是为了永恒的酬劳的话，酬劳，这就很功利了。
It's a transaction.
很功利。
It's not a relationship.
这只是一个交易，不是一个关系。
Our service to God is a response to His love.
我们侍奉神是因为神对我们的爱。
Because our master and our Lord gave His only beloved Son Jesus to us.
是因为神把他自己最爱的独生子给了我们。
That's why we are willing to risk even our life for Him.
所以我们愿意把自己的生命，就算有危险，我们都来向他委身。
So from this day on, forget about the diamond on the crown.
所以从今天开始，忘记了你冠冕上的钻石。
God may give it to you, but that should not be what we are after.
这个神有可能会赐给你，但是不是我们的动机需要去服侍神。
And it's very difficult because we live in a culture that promotes that.
我们是很难的，因为我们是在一个官秘的一个文化里面。
If you work hard, you should get the monetary or material reward.
如果你勤劳的话，你就可以得到物质上的酬劳。
And we also live in a self-centered culture.
我们也是生活在一个自我中心的一个文化当中。
That we do many things because we want benefits for ourselves.
我们做很多事是因为我们要有回报，对我们自己好的酬劳。
So we need to watch out in our spiritual life.
所以在我们的属灵生命上，我们要非常小心。
That we even in our spiritual pursuits.
因为在我们的属灵追求上
we don't pursue it for the benefit of our own life.
我们不能寻求只是为了我们的属灵的好处。
We should serve God just because we respond to His love.
我们来服侍神完全是因为回应神的爱。
And I'm running out of time, so I don't have time to go over the evil servant, but I hope we can learn from the good and faithful servants in how our lives, how we can walk with God in our everyday lives.
我时间过了一点，所以不能跟大家再说那个又懒又恶的仆人。但是我看到你们想思想反省一下，神在你们自己生命当中的。很重要，我们如何去与神同行。
And lastly, I have to point this out because I won't be able to go to sleep if I don't say this.
最后一点，我必须得跟你们说，如果不说，我睡不着。
The song that we sang this morning, this one song that we sang this morning, which was my favorite too, is the song about prayer.
今天有一个一首歌，我们唱的《我要你祷告来到主的跟前》，是我最喜欢的一首歌。
There is one line that's very problematic, and I don't want us to sing it into our theology.
当中有一句呢，我不希望
你
是我们的神学的观念。
每一句我祷告都饶动你的手的，
我每一次祷告我饶动你的手。
This is what prayer is for.
这个就是祷告要做的事。
不是。Prayer is not to change God.
我们的祷告不是要去改变神。
Prayer is about letting God change our lives.
祷告是让神来改变我们的生命。
And this is what Jesus meant when he said to God, "Not my will, but your will be done."
这个就是主耶稣说，不要以我的意思，是要你的旨意被成全。
And that's what he taught us in the Lord's Prayer.
这个就是他怎么样教导我们在主祷文里面。
That kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。
So I hope that the next.
所以我刚刚加入你唱一首歌，做一首歌的时候，你就把这一句改了。
每一次我祷告，
每一次我祷告，
你改变我，改变我
你改变我的心。
So I hope this will be a prayer for all of us that when we pray, we are not thinking of our own benefit.
这个是改变我们的机会。每一次我们祷告的时候，不是为了自己的好处。
We are praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
我们是祷告，愿神的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。
And our hearts will be changed.
然后我们的经历被改变。
By God's love.
用神的爱把我们改变。
Thank you, God.
愿一切荣耀归于神。